Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for Amanda and Patrick and their family and the blessing that they have been to us. I do ask, Father, please, that you would just lay your hand on them with absolute safety, driving safety, health issues, that there be none, that traffic and weather will not be challenging, that everything will just go absolutely smoothly, that the kids, Landon, will tolerate and handle the long drive. And I pray, Father, that in it that they'll look back and say, boy, God just took care of us. May you be praised for that. Father, for this message, I just ask that you bless it, use it for your purpose, glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Kathy's going to be putting up a couple pictures up here. I have no idea what they are. I have not seen them. She just said she posted them. Don't put them up there yet. We're going to continue our series of messages titled Freedom. Today's part three message is freedom with purpose. And there's such a joy and excitement in that statement that I hope that all of us will catch hold on this morning and be refreshed in this morning as we go through this message. I love to travel. I wish that I had more opportunity to travel around the world. I've been to a few extra countries, other countries than ours. It's interesting that even having gone to other countries, even within our own country in of itself, it is diverse in so many ways. From if you think about New York City and Kalinga, there's a big difference, right? If you think about dress and food and culture, there's a difference between the two. If you look at the topographical definitions of our country, you know, the East Coast is green and lush and humid, and we're not so green and humid, but we're dry and hot. And then and things in between, dialects are different. Go to Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas, and you got that real deep Midwest draw. But then, you know, Georgia and Alabama, you've got a real deep, deep, deep Southern draw, and so forth. And Boston, Pakyaka and the Yod type thing. So there's a lot of different culture and linguists and characteristics and or accents and food and all those things that are exciting to me when we travel. They got a couple pictures up here. Let's see. The one on the top right is when I was in Brazil. I'm you don't know which one I am probably. No, I'm one on the far left next to my dad, and then our tour guide in Brazil, and then my stepbrother on the right. That was interesting because they ate later than me. They ate at between 8 and 10 at night. I hated that. They just, you know, just to eat late like that. But the food was interesting. I tried new food, and the culture, all those types of things were truly alienating to me in a sense that it made me feel like I am not home and this is not my country. This is not where I belong, but I was excited to be there. We did some wonderful things there. On the far left, we are at Mount Rushmore. Kathy and I, as we're coming back from Greg's Navy graduation ceremony. And that was fun to go through that part of the country. And then, of course, Yosemite with our family in the middle. But there are a lot of different pictures of different places that God has allowed me to be. So going to different places, whether it be across the country, Montana is a lot different than Kalinga, right? Florida, we can compare all the different cultures within our own nation or other countries as it is. All of it is an adventure to me, but all of it also was not home to me. You've heard the expression, it's always good to get home. Always good to get into your own bed, your own environment, your own home. Woohoo, we're home, can relax. But the adventure is still there. And that's what points to the message today, is that as we grow in Christ, this world that we live in becomes more of an adventure or a journey or a place that we're visiting rather than our home. We're finding that as we grow in Christ, that as we yield our lives over to Him more and more and more, the more that we experience this world, but contrasting the experience that we have with Christ, the more that we're discovered that this is not our home. And I can't underscore that enough. Because for us to finally come to a place in our walk with Christ where we're saying, I'm no longer comfortable here. I'm comfortable with the promise of my new home that God has waiting for me. Now, that's not a morbid thought. I'm ready to die and go home. That's a statement that says, I'm comfortable and I am excited about the future and what God holds for me, but I also know that the culture, the typographical aspects, everything about this world that I live in is not what my home's going to be like. It's not what your home is going to be like. And when we start paradigm shifting our focus from being in the world to being as God's people passing through the world, and really identifying that sense of separation, that alienation from the world that we live in, it becomes even a greater adventure for us. Because we distinctively know that we're no longer comfortable here. This is not where or what it's all about in this life. It's about walking with Jesus and experiencing the adventure that he has for us. Whatever journey that you're on, each one of us is on our own independent journey through life. We can parallel that with traveling. We can parallel that, like I said, going across our country or to other countries. We can find ourselves experiencing a journey. And so there's a spiritual, again, paradigm shift where you begin to see, you know, this is a journey. I can pass through and see this aspect of this world that I live in. For instance, I might be able to look and say, this is what the world offers me. This is what the priority in this world is, but this is not my priority anymore. It's like viewing it and seeing it like you're on a journey or traveling or whatever, but you pass by it because you don't want to invest in it because you realize the shallowness of investing in the things of this world as opposed to investing in our relationship with Christ, which affects not only our lives here and now, but for eternity. In fact, it affects eternity in of itself, because God tells us to lay our treasures up in heaven where our heart is. He tells us to build our foundation in heaven. What's that about? And so it affects eternity. And we're not going to go into what the foundation is about in heaven there. But as we traverse, as we journey, as we go, as we walk with Jesus, we find ourselves being drawn back away from the world and more intently focused on Christ and what really is important, what really matters in life. I've had people, and I'm sure you've heard testimonies of people on their deathbed, where they're thinking, is this it? Is that all there was? And they may have lived 80 years. Was it simply growing up, getting a job, getting married, working hard, getting some things, having some grandkids and dying? Is that all? You see, that's kind of the world, isn't it? But God said, I have so much more for you. I have so much more purpose for you here, now, in this world that the world can't offer. And it comes in our walk with Christ. And so we become less rooted in this life and more focused on a new life that's promised to come. Now, we can say, oh, well, that's too mystical. Well, let's put it a little closer in context. We become more focused on the life that God has promised us now in him. Isn't that interesting? That the things that God has for us now, the purpose that he has for us now, that's not a part of this world, but that he wants to involve us in, is the new life that he has for us now, not just the new heaven and earth, or the new Jerusalem, or the new city, and all that's prophetic promise of God that he has secured for us. Whereas those who don't know Christ or how to follow him, what? They become rooted in this world, and like I said, they become disillusioned. Sometimes in midlife crisis, what am I doing? What's this all about? You got to be kidding, I need a change. This is boring. Whatever excuses there are for midlife crisis, the balance for the Christian, the plumb line for the Christian is, are we walking with Jesus? Are we in his will? Have we discovered his purpose for our lives? Are we doing what he wants us to do personally in our walk with him? That'll help us not to become disillusioned about life, but it'll help us to have a fullness in life that says, wow, you know, God never ceases to amaze me what he wants to do and how he's working in and through my life and so forth and whatnot. Because God is life, and his life never, ever is boring. So for people, so often the purpose of life evades them. But the Christian who commits their life to following Christ finds their purpose. The Christian that commits to following Christ finds the real, lasting, eternal purpose that God has for them. God wants to use you a special way. It doesn't have to be in ministry through the church, although we're all called to serve one another in the church, all of us. We're called to serve in our communities to people and to love people, to love God and to love people. But when God begins to form and shape us, like that song we were singing, and the clay and the potter and shaping the clay to be what God has for us, we want your will, not ours, for our life. And we become we start to discover the shape and the identity of who he's making us into. That defines our purpose in life. I know God is using me here. It might be I'm a mom at home taking care of my kids, investing Jesus in them and my family. That's my purpose right now. But later on, it might be I have something else for you to do. And the only way we discover the difference is by continually walking with God in the direction that he has us to go. Absolutely. And so, why is it that life evades people? Okay? Why is it that people may not find their purpose in life? Why is it that the Christian walk sometimes can become mundane and routine and tradition and just what we're supposed to do rather than the vivacious life that God has for us to have? It's bottom line, our commitment level to Christ. Why is it that we, as we follow in that commitment, that we find ourselves pulling away from the things of the world that used to draw our attention in the direction to go? I mean, I was in the youth classroom, and Caroline was putting me on the spot for asking questions about my life and kind of relating. I'm not going to get into all of it, but, one of them was, being in Miami, it was a cool thing to wear bell bottoms and platform shoes and silk shirts and chains around your neck and hair past your shoulder. And that's all cool if you got the right body for it, but I didn't. It was kind of like a, whew, dude, you got to get it together type of a thing. But my focus was on being in trend. My focus was there because I wanted to have that acceptance of being maybe cool, which I never really thought of myself as being that way. But as we grow in Christ, as I grew in Christ, I found that, the clothes I wear aren't all that important. They're not a priority. They don't make up who I am. And if they do, how shallow is that? And we can use a lot of different examples about that, can't we? But the truth is, the more we find the purpose that God has for us individually as he shapes us, as we commit our lives to him and follow him, the more profound our life becomes in him and how less profound the world becomes in our eyes. And that's a choice for each one of us to make. But as we become less attached to this world, we become aliens. You've heard that word a lot in the news, aliens, right? We're not legal. This is not our home. That identifies us as being aliens, or that we are alienated to the priorities of this world, and we become more focused on, more aware of the purpose that God has given us. I don't know if you've experienced that in your life as a Christian. And that's not a judgment statement in any way, shape, or form. I'm just reflecting that when we find ourselves all of a sudden identifying, you know what, the things that used to be important to me in this world, I could care less about anymore. What's important to me is living for Jesus and what he has for me, what he wants to do in and through me. That's what's important. Because when we can get disillusioned so easy in the shallowness of the world, but there is no shallowness in Christ. There is fulfillment in him. And so we become alien foreigners, traveling sojourners, disconnecting from a world, from this world and its priorities. And we know that this world does not uphold God's standards, right? We know that if we are to be Christians committed to Christ, that we're going to walk in a way that's different, contrasting, and opposed to the way of the world that we live in. We simply know that. In Hebrews 13:14, it says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." That word continuing means our own. We don't have our own city. That's still kind of confusing. It means that we recognize that all of this is not our place. It's not our everlasting habitat, if you will. It's not the place that God has for us for eternity. This life is just a span that passes by quickly. Scripture says life is like the span of a hand across the palm of your hand. Or it's like the mist or the fog in the morning that appears and disappears so quickly. Or it's like the wildflowers in the field that when the sun hits them, they wither so quickly. Our life is really like that. Especially in comparison to eternity that we have with Christ, or eternity in of itself. And so, we've become foreigners. Have you identified in your heart that you're a foreigner in this world? As a Christian, can you identify, I am a foreigner. I'm alienated to the ways of this world. I am simply one that does not belong here. This is not my country. In fact, our freedom to roam as foreigners has a purpose. Our freedom to roam as foreigners has a purpose. You know, feeling alienated can somehow allude to the fact that you feel lost. You feel disconnected. You feel no direction. You feel out in left field waiting. But that's not what God wants. Learning and identifying our alienation to the world that we live in and to the relationship that we have in Christ only produces purpose for your life and my life. In 1 Peter 2:11, it says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners," that's a temporary stop or stay, "and pilgrims," those traveling in a foreign land, "abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Fleshly, animal, carnal, sinful, natural, sinful, lust. Lust is wanting what God has told us is forbidden. Okay? And so he says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We all know that our hearts war against the flesh. Our spirit wars against the flesh. You know what's comforting about that? You say, wow, in the world can that be comforting? Jesus knew it too. Jesus knew the war against the flesh. He said that there's no temptation that was taken him that wasn't taken that we don't know about. Or that he doesn't. I'm saying it backwards. He knew every temptation because he was tempted as we were. Jesus knows that. He knows the warfare. He knows the struggle. He knows all about it. And that's why he's so compassionate with us in those times of warfare. So having your conduct, where am I at here? Okay, excuse me. "I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We are a people that are placed, what? Alongside the things of this world. We are not a people that are engrafted into this world. We were engrafted in this world when we didn't know Christ, but when we were called of God, we were sanctified, set apart by God as God's people in a world to be alongside it, but not engrafted in the world that we live in it. We are not to be a part of it. We're not to engage in what the world says is a-okay to do when God says it's not okay to do. If we follow Christ, we become alien, foreign, and strange. Don't people think we're strange when we don't do things the way the world does? When we think differently? When we're not in line with even the moral ethics, quote-unquote, of the world that we live in? They think we're strange, offbeat. Well, we are strange and offbeat to them because we're living the way that God wants us to live. And so we have to choose to live for Him, which was the message last week. Making the right decisions. We have the freedom to choose. That's our liberty in Christ. We're free from the power of sin, and we have the liberty to be able to make decisions to do what God wants us to do or not. In 1 Peter 2:12, it says, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now, the day of visitation simply means when God intervenes in your life. when God intervenes directly in human affairs, when God intervenes in a way that's convicting, leading a person to come to know them as their personal Lord and Savior, when a person is realizing the blessing of God on their life because of their responsiveness to the Holy Spirit in their life, but people will talk bad about us when we don't live, when we don't live the way the world expects us to. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you also. This is something we just need to mark up and expect. Jesus also said, if we suffer for his name's sake, great is your reward in heaven. If we're willing to suffer for standing in Christ, great is your reward in heaven. We're to continue to choose that liberty and live by God's standards. That's our choice. The more we choose to live by God's standards, the more we choose to live in Christ, the more we choose to live in the power that he has empowered us to live by, the more we grow closer to him and discover more definitive purpose for our lives in each phase of our life, wherever we're at in our life, and the more we're alienated from this world we live in. And that's okay. In fact, it's not just okay. That's fantastic. Because when we have that assurance in the depth of our soul, it says, man, I've been living my life with a purpose that's honoring God, and I know it. I'm living my life in a way that I know that God is pleased with. I know that I'm living my life in line with the will of God for my life that he preordained before the foundations of the world. I know that the purpose that God created for me, I am living in him. I know that at the end of my life, I will not be disillusioned, but I'll be excited about the next chapter of being in that place with God beyond death in heaven and the realities that are there. And so, again, we're to continue to choose to do what's right. And in time, people will see the good that we do. It says again in that verse, it says that when they speak against you as evildoers, which they will, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. God is working in the hearts of people to prepare them to come to know the Lord, or to prepare them to be that much more focused on God, or to prepare them to surrender their lives to Christ. You and I, our witness, our example of good in Christ is a reflection that they're going to look at that encouraged them to do that. And we can praise God for that involvement that he has in and through our lives. The freedom we have in Christ to choose to live honorably and do good works fulfills God's purpose of bringing glory to him through us. The freedom we have in Christ to choose to live honorably, that's respectfully, and do good works fulfills God's purpose of bringing glory to him. When we are behaving, acting, conducting, living our ways in ways that's respectable, honorable to God, doing good works, that's not selfish works, but good works that are pleasing to God with a right heart, it brings glory to God. Now, easy said, easy acknowledged, but tremendous challenge on a daily basis. Tremendous, tremendous challenge for each one of us. And 1 Peter 2:13 through 17, it says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance or law of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence or muzzle, where they can't even move their mouth, the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You want a definition of what our government officials are supposed to be like? Okay? Our governor of California, our governors of in our nation, all those in authority. It says, what's it say? Or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And so we're to set that example. God is giving that example in his word to us. And we're to live as free, not to abuse our freedom in Christ, to choose to do what's wrong. And what I mean by that, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice. We're servants of Christ, but we should never, ever say, I'm saved, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it'll never be blotted out, I know when I die, I know where I'm going, but I'm going to live the way I want to, even if it's contrary to God, and God says, don't do that. Don't convince yourselves just because you're mine that you should live any way you want to, because God wants us to live a life with purpose, a life that's rich in Him, a life that's alienated from the world we live in. But in honoring the laws of the land, what should we remember? If the law of our land tells us and teaches us or enforces us to do that which is contrary to the word of God, then we're not to do it. We have any authority over us. If we're told to do something that does not honor God, we're not to do it. And so we need to respect that and do what God has told us to do. The freedom to choose to obey authorities fulfills God's purpose to silence foolish men. Again, to muzzle. I think about a German Shepherd police dog with the leather muzzle over its mouth. It's not going to bite me. It can't. And when we're doing good, good is good. There's no law against good. In verse 17, we also see God has given us the freedom to fulfill His purpose that we should honor all people and love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Respect all people, regardless if their lifestyle is in opposition to God or offensive to you. Respect, honor all people. Emphasize, love the brotherhood, right? Fear God. Respect God is one thing. To fear God is to say, I don't want the consequence of being disobedient. That's fearing God and honor the king. Now, I've got some applications real quickly, and we'll wrap up this message. Five things that we can do to apply behaviors that will honor God in our life. What behaviors and actions help us to display proper respect to everyone or to love each other well, worship God, honor authorities? First of all, one, these five things are to show the honor and respect to these authorities or to people we meet and so forth. One, we're called to listen. We need to listen to people. We need to tune in when people are looking at us, talking to us. I'm ADHD. My mind's always buzzing like this. So for me to stand still and really pay attention takes a lot of work sometimes, especially when there's activity going on around me. So if I'm talking to you in here in the sanctuary and my eyes are doing this, my mind's doing this, you feel like I'm not listening to you. I am, but not as intently as I ought to be. And so we're called to listen. We're to put down our cell phone. Don't talk while on the phone, okay? We're to offer the feedback if you feel like it's necessary. We are to listen and show the person that we have a genuine interest in them. We are to encourage others. If someone you know has had a bad day, pray that God will give you a way to encourage them, to say a kind word, to do a simple act of kindness, whatever you can to lift them up. Encourage them. Because when you encourage them in a time that they're feeling low, what you're doing is that you took the time to be interested in their feelings, right, and their well-being. You can give them a smile, a good word, do something. I think I've told you this before, but when I was working in Florida at Holiday Inn Resorts, the supervisor for the housekeeping department, you could tell her countenance was really down. And she is a Christian. And I remember walking up to her, and I don't know what I said, but I sat on the front of the desk, and I said something to her just to pick her up. And she looked at me, and she goes, I needed that. I really needed that today. It's taking the time to be aware of each other and looking for ways to encourage them. Number three, congratulate. There's nothing wrong with giving a pat on the back. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging someone's good work. Nothing wrong with acknowledging other people's accomplishments, because that will build each other up, not for the ego, but just to be acknowledged, and it glorifies God in that. Be helpful. Many of you in this room have the gift of helps. The only way that we can be helpful is if we're listening to know how to help. We're watching people's lives where we can step in and not say a word sometimes and try to help. Be helpful and helping people, encouraging people, offering them some advice, giving them your time, returning a favor, showing them respect and gratitude. Be helpful. And then finally, the simplest of all, and you already know it, thanks, say thank you. You ever hear Christians use the phrase, praise the Lord, in almost a non-thinking automatic response? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for this. Praise the Lord for that. It's become almost a cliche rather than a sincere comment. You ever see that? Yeah. It's not that they mean that to be disrespectful or not sincere. It just means that they're so used to saying praise the Lord that they forgot to bring the sincerity up behind it necessarily. And that's what we're to do when we say thank you. People need to know that when we say thank you, and there's that eye contact there, and there's a sincerity that backs it up, that shows the authenticity of our heart to them. That thank you goes a long, long ways because you appreciate them. You've showed them that. And so we live in a world that as we grow closer to Christ, the world becomes less important to us. And Christ becomes more important to us. The priorities of the world don't acknowledge us the way we thought they would, but the purpose of God in our life and following it fulfills us. And God is glorified by it. And we're to be a people that live in a way that is good and pleasing to God because it shows respect and honor to Him. It brings Him honor and glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your word in each one here. I pray, Father, you help each of us, Father, to be the active people that you call us to be every day. Every day is a challenge. Some days, Father, we just fall flat on our face and can't seem to get up off the ground, wallowing and falling. Other days, Father, we seem as though we're walking on the top of the mountain peak spiritually with you. Other days, we have a mixture of both. You know the challenge. I thank you so much because you've told us in your word that you know the struggle. You know the challenge. You have a experience or experience these things and can be empathetic with us with what we go through. But you're there to give us grace and strength to walk in that victory. I pray, Father, please, that you help us to be a people that are marked as being good citizens, that honors you, that loves you, and loves people around them and their neighbors. And I pray, Father, please, you'll use that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.